Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Give the Lord a hand, saints of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're once again live tonight there at the prison tonight via FM radio. I want to greet the brethren there and thank you for tuning in tonight. We trust we could say something to encourage you. We're going to, through our phone service and the ones hooked up on the phone, we're going to start turning it on after the singing. And we got some of the best musicians and singers. And if you were here live, everything is beautiful and it sounds. But over the phone, I don't know what the technical problem is, but I've never heard anything so hideous. I'm telling you, it sounds terrible. And no, I'd like to wish I could blame it on you, brother, but I mean, I'm telling you what, it's chopped. It's terrible. And there's nothing. If we're using a phone service company, it doesn't matter. There's no amount of number of people calling. It goes through a host service. We have a better service that's via Wi-Fi. That's the good audio, and we're working on that. But there are many people that are using the phone connection. So I trust that the voice aspect is coming through. We have checked that, and it seems to work fine. But when there's music, the music just chops out the voices and you're getting half the words and things. So I do apologize about that. We believe in perfecting things. Whatever we do, we try to do it to the best that we can. And again, I can apologize for that, but we have some gifted. Some of you have received, some been here live, some have got CDs and different things from here. And you've seen the anointing, the word, and the I look for not professionalism, brother, and I know there's many professional people that are very gifted in music, but there's no virtue nor anointing. So it's not the professionalism that I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that love the Lord and allowing God to use them. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer for you and be seated tonight, and we'll see the direction of the Lord here. Father, we thank you. Praise you, Lord God. Lord God, as I pray for these brethren that are tuned in tonight, Lord God, these servants, these fellow laborers in your vineyards, Lord God, I thank you for them. And I ask, Lord God, that you could bless them, encourage them, and help them in their cause, Father, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us here tonight, Lord, here on this home front, we may say, Father, that the brethren here, as they unify together, Father, to labor together, to work together, and to see an increase in your kingdom. Bless our endeavors and our efforts. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I know some of the brethren have received CDs of the youth and the different people singing here, and I've got so many powerful testimonies about the music ministry here at Christian Temple. We have guest ministers and things that travel from different states, and they come through and hear the abilities and the gifts from the many families here within the work. There's nothing but positive testimonies of those things. So I'm surely not apologizing for the lack of the abilities here. It's the sound quality that is going by the way of the telephone. I know we got camp meeting rolling around here starting next Wednesday night. I look forward to these times and people coming together and families coming together. You know, we get into a camp meeting atmosphere, camp meeting mind. That's wonderful and great. But again, there's endeavors going continually around the clock. And when you're on your workplace and your job site and those kind of things, you know, if you're associated with this church and this ministry here, everything that you do affects what we do here, everything. And you say, well, I keep my business separate from the church. Well, I invite you into the altars to get born again, because that's what you need to be. You need to be born again. When you have a business and you run it like a business, then you're going to come to the church and think you have a sacrifice to offer to the Lord. You're an abomination in the eyes of God, thus saith the Lord. And I mean that with all my heart. I don't know where I could separate my Christ-like Christianity from my worth ethics. I can't do that. I can't change those things, brethren. I can't dress one way when I'm out in the world and dress to fit their needs or their standards or their work things and come over to the house of God and think that I'm going to dress a certain way to please Him. We are the church, brethren. We are the temple of God. There's people that aren't in church. The only time they may see church is when they see us. Amen. But people that have one kind of life at church and another kind of life at Walmart, they just simply need to get born again. And I could say the same way to the brethren incarcerated. You know, you got the guys, they'll come over. Well, I'm going to come over to the Bible study. I'm going to come over to the little prayer group. I'm going to come over here in the yard and meet with these guys. And they get together and, hey, praise God. Hallelujah, man. How's it going? You know, man, let's pray together, man. I love you, brother, this and that. And then they're over there in the break room sitting there playing poker and cursing and talking like a dog with the other people. They're just playing games. The worst thing they could do is go back to the Bible studies. They're just bringing damnation and judgment on their head. And if they go back, they need to go in the mind to repent and say, brethren, I need your help. I need you to help me. I need you to give me the strength to walk right in godliness and righteousness and holiness. I know those sound like strong statements, brethren, and I know that we make allowances for little babies, you know, to stumble around a little bit, but you know, they need the time to grow up, amen, and get the word of God in their heart and in their spirit and be a written epistle, read and known of all men. And when you're out in the break room or the day room or wherever you're at or out on the grounds walking around, people see the word made known, the word made manifest, amen. They see the word of God. Amen. And many times people get disappointed because they don't feel like people are hearing them. People are listening to them. They don't think. And it's simply because they see the way they live. Amen. They've done read their book. Amen. In their lifestyles and their attitudes and their attributes that they bring forth. Amen. And I would rather be silent. You know, brethren, you need to come to a revelation that you're called in defense of the word, not in defense of you. Amen. And when you could come to that revelation, you'll see a lot of growth in you and in others around you. And too many times, people are defending their pride. And their Bible disputes and Bible studies and Bible things are just to simply prove to the other guy that you're right and they're wrong. That's a bad basis, and it's an automatic failure for a Bible study. Amen. I was talking with Brother Durrell today, and I told him, I said, you know, I want to lay my life down. You know, I'll submit. We were talking about submission. I said, I will submit myself to a harlot in town. And you say, wow, Brother Rob, I'll submit my life and my benevolence, anything I could do to help her to get away from the perversion and the filth, willing to lay my life down. The reason I'll do that, because my Lord done that for me. Saved me when I was yet still in my sin. And that's the kind of love and things that we need to have. I'm going to go into a little bit of word here. I won't be long, but I'm going to ask Brother Durrell to come up and give us a brief testimony. And to the brethren, there's many men that are there that he has invested in. Some men listening tonight is through his endeavors of evangelism there within the prison. I'm going to let him come up just for a moment and greet the brethren and say howdy to them and give you all a brief testimony. Go ahead, brother. Come on. Amen. Let's give him a hand, saints of God.
Man, it's a blessing to be here. Brother Van, Brother Michael, Brother Conrad, we love you, and I'm just telling you, hey, God good, I'm here, huh? all them days in that cell, we looking at pictures, and I'm looking at Brother Andy, Brother Van, he right here on the front row. You know, the Lord, he so many things for me, and I was telling Brother Rob today, I said, Brother Rob, I was a wretched man. Started off drug dealing, left my mom's house when I was young. I was homeless when I was 13, ended up staying in a bus, and got introduced to some guys in the streets, and they were selling drugs. And I'm just going to give you all just a small cap, not everything. Well, I grew up at first in a holiness movement. I was telling Brother Rob about that. And so not watching TV and just a lot of things, but I rebelled against it. And the Lord went through that whole movement and kind of destroyed it. So I ended up, when I was probably 18 or 19, I went to prison for 18 pounds of weed and some guns. And just from that, the devil just began to just deal with me. He took my heart and he destroyed it. I became bitter. I became very violent. I was a very violent man. I was very selfish. I didn't care whether a person lived or died. I didn't. And I saw blood, and I became so cold. I had no peace. I was tormented by the devil constantly in my mind, daily. You know, I've had so many different relationships, and they all would fail because I was multiple people. You know, and so it got to a point that when I got out the last time, it got to a point where so many things happened, and they were trying to kill me, and they were trying to kill my family. It was just so many things had went wrong in this little drug thing. So guys I grew up with, they had turned against me. And so the guy told me, he said, Darrell, he said, you're not the same no more. He said, you changed. He said, you power hungry. And I can look back now and see how the devil had just put me on a real path of darkness trying to destroy me. And I'm just telling you all a little bit, you know. But I remember one night I was in the shed. I had lost everything, lost my home, everything. And I prayed to God. I said, this is all I know how to do. I said, I don't know how to do nothing else. I cried. I said, this is all I know how to do. I said, if you will give me an opportunity, I'll serve you and I won't be ashamed. And the Lord allowed me to receive salvation. And it's been a blessing. My testimony is filled with, I could give you so much as to just the heartache and pain and the darkness that came from my life. But the biggest blessing to me, besides getting saved, because that's just the greatest thing, is coming into the knowledge of holiness. And I thank God for peace and instilling in me the want and the desire to see souls saved. God has really saved me. I know what it's like to live in darkness. And I know that a lot of people have their own darkness, but I know what it's like to live in darkness. I know what it's like to wake up every morning and not have no peace. I know what that's like. Everything that I touched crumbled. Now here I am, and I can sit on this bench and I say, Lord, how did I get here? And it seems like every day it's that same thing over and over again. God, how did I get here? How did I get here? And so my encouragement to the brothers in prison, because I know what it's like to walk in there and try and love Jesus. But if I could tell them anything, and you brothers are listening to me, that this is reality and this is possible. God loves us, and he has a calling on your lives. Here I am standing right here in this same church that I looked at all these pictures. I believe that this is the God of now, like Brother Rob said, and nothing is impossible for God. And I want you brothers in prison to know that I love you and I support you and walk with Jesus. I think that God is raising up some men and women, us that are the black sheep of the world. And the only requirement is just to have a heart of love. That's all you got to do. If you'll love Jesus, he'll look past everything else. I never not me. Who am I, you know? And I come around you all and I feel so bad. I say, Lord, have mercy. How can I even come around these people? The things I have did, and I carry that shame, you know. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. The word has become alive to me. It's not just a book. So, brothers in prison, I love you. Don't let that mirror lie to you. Don't worry about that uniform you're putting on. We are family, and we're going to fight. I love you.
The Apostle Paul talked about understanding the depths of darkness. Amen. And look at the great works that he has turned and, And then, you know, Brother Durrell, I could tell you that there's not nobody sitting here judging you because you know, of your former past or because you were incarcerated or a prisoner. Amen. Because there's not too many men in here that don't deserve to still be in there. Amen. You know, I got to share some things with Brother Durrell today. You know, and the average testimony of many Christian people, you know, man, I got delivered from cocaine. I got delivered from heroin. I got delivered from homosexuality. You know, I got delivered from that. And you know what? Those are wonderful testimonies. But brethren, those things are so light. I know that might be your major testimony. I'm not making light of it. But what I'm saying, those are not the things you hear Brother Rob testifying about. I know what drug addiction is. I've lost family members to drug addiction. But brethren, the thing that alarms me more than drug addiction, when a man's loaded on dope and stoned on drugs and out of his mind, he knows he ain't got God. He might try to fool himself, but it's the ones that are religious. There's my testimony. It's these religious people that think that they know God, think that they have God, and those are the ones that are the frightening ones to me, because you can't bring God to them because they already have God. They don't need no help. And you look at them through the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ, and you cannot find the Spirit of God in their heart. And America is full of people professing Christianity, brethren, that are lost. I shared with you one of the statements, and my dad's an old man, a carnal-minded man in so many ways. He loves the Lord, and he has a prayer life. He gets down on his face and prays. And I tell you, some of the things that he spoke to me, I know the Lord had to suffer it to come. But he said, son, your hardest job is to get people convinced that they're not born again for you can get them born again. And I'll tell you what, that may not sound like much of a statement to you, but that is a revelation. And you know, when most people put and we likewise do, we put the power of profession. Amen. And I teach you that when you're sick, you profess that you're well. And you say, but really, I'm sick. But I said, profess that you're well. Brother Pete made mention that tonight. He said about sharing a testimony. And boy, they went out there and pretty soon they started believing it. Amen. And yes, you should have a profession. And if you're struggling and stumbling around, your profession should be, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, man. And I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep pushing. Brother Pike was preaching strong and hard. I mean, he was wearing it out. And I think every single man and woman left that church, you know, with their head hanging down, thinking, my God, many services like that, you know, is there anybody going to make it? The next day, a man came to me and he said, Brother Rob, I want to ask you a question. And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, do you have the Holy Ghost? I said, let me tell you something, brother. I said, if a devil from hell grabs me by my ankles and he's dragging me in the deepest, darkest pit that's ever been, I'm going to be testifying my Lord and God, Jesus Christ, all the way. And I'm going to be fighting and I'm going to be shouting the victories in Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Pike, I shared with him, and he said, the man wasn't right, Brother Rob, when he asked you that. And the man has failed. The man is dead now. Amen. And his spirit wasn't right when he come and asked that. See, people, they like to find people and try to fail them for they could feel good about themselves. And they're critical, and they're self-righteous, they're judgmental, and they're always pointing at people's problems and always making themselves better. When your testimony makes you better than somebody else, your testimony is of your father, the devil. Amen. Your testimony isn't set to make you better than somebody. Your testimony is to set Jesus Christ and let him know that I was failed in my weakness, but I found his power. I was fallen in sin and iniquity, but he saved me and brought me out. Amen. And the glory, the honor, and the praise goes to him. Anytime you got a message to preach, the glory goes to him. It isn't your studies. When you study and you dig and you look and you come show us your intellectual brilliance, amen, the virtue of God is not there. People will get fed into knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. People are stating their salvation on knowledge. And I do know that we have to have knowledge. Don't misunderstand me now. But we have to differentiate between the knowledge of a puffed up man and the word of knowledge that comes by the Spirit. Like Brother Durrell said, we got to have love. And when you have a knowledge through love, you're going to lay your life down and you're going to esteem everybody better and greater than yourself. And everything that you do is going to be for their needs. Brother Durrell said, you know, I'm checking my heart, checking my life. And he said, I find selfishness. Brother Robert, selfish. Amen. Praise God for revelation, because every man in here has got the same thing, but not most of them would never profess that, Brother Melvin. They would never profess that. And they think, oh, you know, but I sow and I give and I do this. No, all men's hearts are fashion-like, and Brother Rob is selfish and you're selfish. And the only difference might be that I know it and you don't. And you say, well, Brother Rob, then, you know, if you're selfish, how can you be a pastor? Because that's the thing I got to mortify every day of my life. I got to kill something every single day, brethren. And when you recognize something in your life and you let it beat you up and just keep beating you up and beating you up, then you failed. You allow that thing and you put it under your feet and say, I'm that new creature. I'm this one that's born again. I'm this one that's born of God. I'm this one that is now not walking in selfishness as a man. I'm walking in Christ, in the love of God, amen, by the attributes of charity, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read some scripture here tonight. You love the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about what I know. It's about Him. And let me tell you something. I'd rather speak something in simplistics that man could grasp onto and make alterations in his life as talk into some symbolism or some mystic way or into some spiritualism way and things. Brethren, let me tell you something. I deal with dreams. I deal with visions. I have dreams. I have visions. I have words of knowledge come to me on a continuous basis. I don't share everything. Amen. The Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. When you want to unveil everything that you're seeing and everything, you're not using wisdom. Amen. Because the thing is there's things that I see people do that the Lord tells me that I can't even speak about it. Amen. Because they're already dealing with an arrogance and a haughtiness in themselves and their own spiritualism that when you commend them in that way, it takes them over the top, and sometimes it brings devastation and death. Amen. You want some addresses and some names, and I could tell you where some tombstones are at of many men that have failed most miserable. We got to make analyzations and judgments through the mind of Christ and the mind of Revelation. And we got to see what the effects has done to numbers and many. But I'm going to tell you something. What Brother Durrell said tonight, the key ingredient to all things is love. And amen. And when you have a love for that man more than you do your own self, that you're willing to lay your life down for that man. And you know what? It's not about me. It's about what he knows. And I need to bring, if I got something, then I'm accountable to that man to bring it to him in love to help him. Amen. Remember, brethren, that we can't give these things out overnight. Brother Pike had the vision, and he said that he was trying to bring these things out of heaven and bring the people, and he said, the law will get you. You've got to bring the people to it. You can't bring them to it. Amen. And when you take it to people down at a less estate, you're going to kill them and destroy them. The revelation of Jesus Christ will destroy a man until he gets caught away into heaven where he could receive it and see it and perceive it and understand it. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you. It'll never make sense to a carnal mind. Amen. And it'll never make sense to a spiritual mind that is spiritual in another dimension. Amen. The spirit mind is the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you polish your mind into a spiritualism, it's absolutely counterfeit and it will be exposed and it'll come down. And if somebody is keen in the spirit, walking in the spirit with discernment, it'll be shining out like a beacon light. Amen. And it's something that comes by revelation. Amen. All right, let me read some scriptures. I'm going to turn you over to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Amen. There's some things on down through there. I don't know if I'll make it that far, but we're going to try to say some things to help you tonight. You love the Lord? Amen. God's good. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we feign not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'm going to read the verse 2 again. You say, I done got it, Brother Rom. I ain't. Maybe I'm doing it for me. I do understand it, brethren, but there's a textbook of information right there in those things if you let God unveil it to your heart and your spirit. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, brethren, I'll say this. I want to read on here. I don't want to spend much time here. There's things that we find out as a natural man that could bring prosperity to us, that could be very lucrative. There's things that we could, through craftiness, we could excel and do things. And then when you come to the God conscience and conviction of God and you want to walk beyond reproach, these things are going to be laying there luring you all the time because you know they work. Listen to me. Now, the world will be built upon it. But when you're a son of God and he's building you, molding you, shaping you, and you're on the potter's wheel, he'll just crush you. So you got to make some differentiations here. We got to leave the former things. Amen. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. Some of our ministries are based upon ourselves, based upon our revelations, based upon our knowledge, based upon our experiences, based upon our spiritualisms, based upon our visions, based upon our dreams, based upon our hair-upstanding events, based upon the door blowing open, based upon these kind of things. And brethren, let me tell you something. I do not need anything taking place in the physical world to vindicate the spiritual world to me. And some people are that way. They got to have things taking place. The Jews required a sign. I'm not a Jew, brethren. I'm a spiritual Jew. Walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, I see into the Spirit. And I don't need to be one that comes to the house of God or comes together with brethren and sits down and rises up to play. And many times I use terms like effectuations, you know. Maybe I should clarify some of that. The little girl says, I'm in love. The little boy says, I'm in love. I have explained this before. Effectuation is a wonderful thing and it could look so much like love. But when you really find out effectuation is being fed through the exuberance of maybe fleshly inspiration, it could be through the exuberance of this individual bettering you or helping you, and it could be selfish. But love isn't that way. It vaunteth not itself. It thinketh no evil. Amen. It believeth all things. And you see, when we start talking about the spirit of love, it's totally different than all these other perspectives. So sometimes we could be grasping into this infatuation with these spiritual things, but it isn't what God really has in store. He might have used it for a lure to draw you into the real genuine thing. Amen? You know, a young person says he falls in love with this girl or the girl with the guy, and they're in love with one another. And it's most generally a fatuation again. But as I say, when he sees his wife up all night, laboring with children, bearing children, laboring and taking care of sick children, and unselfishly and going when they're wore out, and taking care of you when you're a jerk, and you're rude, and you're ignorant and unappreciative of the things that they do, and you never commend them or thank them or honor them, and they're still there. And then you'll start understanding what love is. She's showing you love for your sorry self. Amen? You say you're talking like out of experience. Sure I am. I've experienced a lot of things in my walk. Amen? I've been the guy that I got enough understanding to know how to repent, Brother Melvin. There's been times I've been ungrateful and unthankful to my God. You know, he's blessed me and blessed me and blessed me, and you go on in the blessings, and all of a sudden, you know, where's your gratitude? Where's your thankfulness? Amen. We should be grateful and thankful every day that he loves us and helps us. Amen. You say, well, I wake up every day and, you know, I got breath running in my lungs, man. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. Well, praise God for that. But that's temporal. I'm thanking for him for eternal life. It doesn't have anything to do with the longevity of my number on this earth. It has nothing to do with it. A man could accept Jesus Christ, or a boy at 8 years old, and he could come to a revelation and understanding and have a heart crying out to God, and God fill that little fellow with the Holy Ghost while he's laying in a cancer ward. Yes, he could heal him and he could walk out, amen, but he could walk right into the eternal glory with the Lord, amen. That's love, and that's real, and that's eternal, amen. We put too much on this world. We put too much on our intellect, too much on those things, and we need to have a demonstration of benevolence, amen, a demonstration of love in everything that we do, and it needs to be about the other. When you read the Bible, it's about you, and you read the Bible, it's for you, and you read the Bible for you, you're reading it amiss. You read the Bible how I could help another man. You read the Bible how I could save another soul. And you read the Bible how you can kill you and make them live, amen, and then you've come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, amen. You say, well, man, there's no fun in that. Man, I'll tell you what, you don't even know the beginning of the word. Amen. Because your fun is temporal, amen, and it fades away. But let me tell you something, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen. And the joy that you have when you see a soul really come into the kingdom, amen. I'm not talking about the joy of a factuation, somebody submitted to you or laid down and awestruck over you. When you got to be moved by flattery and somebody got flattering you and tell you this, and your only move of God is because you the one, you the man, you the one, you're going to do these great things. Amen. If that's what turns you on, you ain't got no strength and you won't be able to do nothing for God. You know what you're going to take when God strikes you down? When you get knocked down, you're going to say, God, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to push. When they do all matter of evil against me, I'm going to keep on pressing and keep on pushing, and I'm going to come up with a smile on my face doing it. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. You want to win some souls into prison? Then you're there for their sake. You're there for their help. Bless them. Help them. Do something for them. Well, I ain't got much, Brother Rob. That might be why you don't have much. You start sharing and giving, then you'll have much. Amen. Quit hoarding it to yourself. You're not a savings account. You're a vessel to flow for the things of God to flow through. Amen. And if anything flows through it that brings praise and it brings strength and it brings help and brings life to somebody, make sure that you stay back out of the way and say, give your God the glory. Give him the honor, amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's still talking about you, my friend. Amen. He wants to shine out of the dark image of your first birth. He wants to be that light coming forth in you. Amen. Know that your darkness, amen, in your first birth. Know that your Bible retention is darkness. Know that your scripture retention is darkness. It's intellect, brethren. That's not what we base our salvation on. When you base your salvation on a rehearsed knowledge, you have no salvation. I base my salvation on this light that entered into my heart, brethren, and this light that emanates nothing but love and compassion and help and desire for others, to see others. Amen. There's your key to the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's when he's revealed, when you no longer live. Your ambitions are out of the way. Your prestige is out of the way. Amen. And you say, well, this sounds like a crucified way. It's the only way. Amen. We got to get out of the way. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here it is again. It said, and not of us. Are you coming to see this? It's hard for a man, as Brother Durrell said today. I check my heart, Brother Rob, and I find selfishness. Praise God for that revelation. 31 years old, I wish I could have had that kind of revelation at that age. I wish I could have had that kind of revelation. Brother Pike tells his brother, and he said, for all men's, you know, he said, you're all selfish. Man, I'm out here working at the church, giving my time. I ain't on nobody's payroll. How could that be selfish? Because you want the blessings of God. Because you want more treasures up in heaven. It's all about you. Amen. And when you tell you what, when it's all about them, man, those things are going to build up to a great, great storehouse, man. Amen. When you're giving to somebody, he's giving to you. When you're helping somebody, he's helping you. When you're prospering, somebody's prospering you. It's a key, and it works every single time. Get out of your world. Get out of your mind, and let it be the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want success. Amen. But we have this treasure in earth and vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When you let a little bit of you get in there, and it takes the power of him away, it's got to be all him. Keep pointing to him. Amen. When you've come to these revelations, amen, I sat under a man and listened to him at length. Not speaking of Brother George Pike, I'm not speaking to him. But the revelations was everything in a selfish motivation to your gains, and taught us that everybody out there is a bunch of beasts, and everything they got's laid up for us because we the ones. We the sons of God. Amen. And we're it and they're nothing. Let me tell you, that's doctrine of devils. I know the Bible said that the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just, but it never allows us to stomp on them and to take advantage of them. But Bible said we got to have a love for the heathen. Amen. And we want to be sharing with them and helping them and laying our life down. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren, when God does it and he takes a talent from one and gives it to another one, that's God that's doing it. But we don't place ourselves in that kind of a position and teach that kind of a doctrine. I've seen it destroy and kill many men and bring death, damnation, destruction, and they've lost their soul in those kind of things by robbing people, feeling justified, praying against people and feeling like it's your duty. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you bring judgment on a man, the Bible said you're guilty of the very same thing. Amen. That's why you don't do it. If judgment's proceeding from you, it better be through the mind of Christ and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, there is mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. So you better be careful with your what you think you got is what you're calling revelation. Amen. And it's vanity. Amen. And you better be very cautious with it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see, what we have got to look at right here, brother, and I could take, a man could take that scripture right there that's being beaten and bruised and things like that and say it's for his testimony for Jesus Christ. I know what that is. But you know what? Sometimes our wounds stink because of our foolishness, because of our haughtiness, because of our arrogance, because of our mouth, because we don't know what it means to study to be quiet. We don't know what it is to conceal the matter. Amen. And we find hardships and things happening. I had an individual come to me and they told me that the reason that they were getting kicked out of their house was because it was for the testimony, because they were a testimony for Jesus Christ. I said, no, it ain't because you're a testimony for Jesus Christ. It's because your husband's a lazy, stinking bum and he don't want to work is why you're getting thrown out of your house. And it is. And I know I speak crude, brothers, but you know what? I'm expressing a little bit of disappointment with somebody professing Christianity and they want to make their stripes because of their goodness of God. And when it's because of their foolishness, and it might be they're paying for their sin on this side, amen, which I would rejoice in the Lord for the afflictions and the persecutions and the losses on this side, if the price could be paid in full on this side, if I go the other. Now, most Christian people would deny that. What they would say is, oh, Jesus paid the price, amen, for my sin. I said, yes, he did. He purchased you and bought you with his blood, and he paid the debt in full and complete. But when you come to that revelation and understanding, and you walk out there in your selfish, willful way, doing the things for yourself, that is an abomination and a sin, and God's going to bring chastening and judgment and persecutions and tribulations on you, and you'll sit there in your haughtiness and thinking it's because of your testimony for Christ. No, it's because God is chastening you, trying to wake you up and get out of your self-will, of your overconfident ignorance, and he's trying to kill you. Amen. For Christ could live. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Remember that. If your testimony isn't about him, if your life isn't about him, then you're nothing. You got nothing to say. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Man, praise God. Amen. Come on now, brethren. You know, man, I don't like this Christianity you're talking about. I'm just reading the Word of God to you, brethren. You better start liking it. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We differentiate a lot of things, and I'd like to differentiate that particular verse. Brethren, you know, there's a scripture that I often go to. I believe it's in Colossians, but it talks about that the son of perdition must be revealed before the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we could talk about this Antichrist being revealed over here in the Middle East, you know, and Jesus setting up rule here. We could go there, but, you know, we've really missed the present day truth when we look at that. The thing is Brother Rob Coons in his first birth is the son of perdition. You understand that? You and your first birth. Brother Whitlow, you understand that? In his first birth. Brother Tab in his first birth. Brother Davis in his first birth. Brother Griffin in his first birth. Come on now, brother. That's the son of perdition. That's your real enemy. Amen. It's not your wife. It's not your uncle. It's not the minister down the street. You know, that's not your enemy. It's that man. And he must die. It said right here, again, the scripture that I'm speaking, it says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You've got to every single day kill him. Kill him out. Get his wishes, his ambitions. If he has a ministry, kill it. If it's the ministry of Andy Beachy, kill it. If it's the ministry of Whitlow, kill it. If it's the ministry of Lambert, kill it. Amen. Get that thing out of the way and let it be the one and only ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everything we do is to bring honor and glory and praise to him and him alone. Amen. So if you are a minister and you got your name, Swagger Ministries, Hen Ministries, or Reprobate Ministries, I don't know, whatever it is, get born again. Amen. And start glorifying and magnifying Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And when somebody's got to buy your stuff, it ain't fit to have. Come on now. It ain't fit to have. If you're selling the gospel, you're a reprobate. Amen. It ain't for sale. Amen. You should be giving it and putting it in a book and sending around the world. And amen. And let him make a way. Let him support you. Amen. Sound like some tough stuff here tonight, amen. Just fall in love with him. I'm going to read 11 one more time. I'm trying to get down a little farther. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. Let him manifest. Let him take over your mortal body. Let him take over and be his attributes, not yours. Don't let your iniquities be seen in daily life. Don't let everybody see your anger and your malice and your envy and your strife and your jealousy and your conceit and your self-righteousness. Don't let everybody see the love that you have for yourself, that you're so madly in love with yourself that it's about you and everything is you. Get that out of the way and let it die. And let everything be for Jesus. Amen. Let it all be for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Then he's manifested in your mortal flesh the attributes of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, and kindness. Let that be seen in you. Then the only thing that can be glory is him. Amen. That's his mind. Let his mind be in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like this message. Amen. Praise God. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Do you understand that? See, when Brother Durrell gets out of the way, and Brother Durrell gets his ministry out of the way, and Brother Rob gets out of the way, and Brother Rob gets his ministry out of the way, that's death. And then life will come to them. Amen? Life will come to them. But when it's about my ministry and about my knowledge and about who I am, and I'm this great one, chosen of God, and I'm part of this, you know, brethren, I preach the message that I'm part of the chosen generation and the royal priesthood. I preach a message that I know who I am in Christ, amen, and nothing can be laid to my charge, amen. I know the revelation of that message, and I preach that message. But when you take it to your flesh, you're going to die. When you take it to you that you've come to this special thing and now you could esteem yourself because you're a son of God, you've missed the point, brother. You've never came to the revelation of Jesus Christ because it ain't about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Help me. Amen or oh me. Amen. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. That's the key to you having life, is finding death. That's the key to your life, finding death and bringing life to somebody else. And then you have been partakers of eternal life. Amen. Praise God. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Praise God. Part of the same branch, part of the same vine. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. I love that. I tell you, he's going to great lengths here to make you know it's about everybody else and not you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, though our outward man perish. Read again. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Go back to the gym, pump that iron a little bit and push around. Keep trying to renew that outward man and get him. And that old age will catch up with him. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you build up that inward man, hallelujah, and it'll swallow up that outward man and change him from mortal to immortal, amen. It'll change him from that terrestrial being to a celestial being, amen. There's got to be something taking place from within first. It has to take place from within. As Brother Pete said in his testimony and singing tonight, he said there's got to be that inward worship, amen. You know, we can get it on the outside. Man, praise God. Man, it's good. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. And you're dead and you're a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. And all you're trying to do is convince yourself that you got something. Whew. Whoa, brother. Whew. Whoa, man. Whew. And I say, you know what? You're on your way to hell and you're going to burn all through eternity. Amen. Amen. Get out of the playing games, man, and get real with Christ and established, amen. I've seen that. Brother Pete and I both came out of the charismatic world. Brother Tab shared about the world he came from in the Pentecostalism, man. Come on, man. We've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been there for years. Before I met Brother Pike, I was almost shipwrecked in my faith because I've been to every meeting and they pump you up, man. You the one. Oh, I got a word from God for you, Brother Beachy. Thus saith the Lord. God's going to make you. You're going to outshine, brother, the whole universe and the whole world. I believe that. That is a prophetic word to that man because he's a son of God. But he ain't doing his own thing. He ain't doing what's good for him. You say, well, he's blessed over there. He's got this big, nice home. How did he get that? By helping you get a big, nice home. By helping you and teaching you and helping you and loving you and supporting you when you wasn't worth anything. That's just the blessings of God. If God can't bless him for his labors, then God's word is a lie. If God can't bless you for your labors, his word's a lie. Amen. And you sit back and you in envy and strife shows that you ain't got God's spirit. When you envy a man that's got something nice and you envy him, that's jealousy, envy, and strife in your heart. And you should rejoice saying, you know what? Man, that makes me encouraged to go do the same thing because I see God's word is real, his blessings are real. And when a man's sowing and giving, there's a reward and an increase that comes back. Amen? And let me tell you something, there's an eternal one too. Amen? I want my rewards on this side to be overflow from the eternal ones. Amen? Come on now. I want to be spent. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Some of you are trying to push out the inward man and let the outward man be renewed day by day and bring it all to him. Fame, glory, that's the way the world does. Got a certificate on the wall. Oh, got another certificate on the wall. Got another accomplishment on the wall. Another diploma, another this, another that. And they just keep lifting you up, lifting you up, and lifting you up. Amen. But if God lifts you up, let me tell you where he's going to lift you up to. The cross. To be crucified for their soul. Amen. I'm not here, brethren, looking for a reign and a kingdom, brethren. I'm here to bring people into the eternal kingdom. Amen. And he blesses me well. Blesses me. But my heart is for them. My heart is for you. Amen. And that's real, brethren. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to educate you. I want to bring you. I want to get you out of your fake revelations and your fake spiritualism, your fake emotions, and your fakeness of you trying to convince yourself. There is a difference in the profession of Jesus Christ than some humanistic expression. I've had men call, oh man, Brother Rob, man, I got a breakthrough last night, brother. Man, I was praying and I got a breakthrough and God showed me, brother. God showed me, my friend. He showed me that this thing is going to be taken care of. Man, I love a profession of faith. But brother, it wasn't faith. I sat there and looked at him and I would not speak what God showed me because if I was hoping through his profession, it would change into faith and something that would come alive and bring an evidence, brother. Faith is going to bring a substance. And when he had a need, he needed a financial miracle is what he needed. But God needed a man to surrender out of his playing games with his profession, not Christ's profession. And it didn't come. I could not tell the man, Lord will not let us say, no, brother, you better get back on your knees some more. I couldn't tell him that. I said, hey, first I checked myself. Well, maybe he did get a breakthrough and Brother Rob didn't. But why did God show me? And it doesn't come to pass. I could share that story with you over and over and over and over again. Amen. It's not a matter of saying something. I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And he speaks back and said, hey, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? You see, the magic wasn't the formulation or the retention of a knowledge that he saw another man of God do that. You might see a man of God lay hands on somebody and say, come out of him, devil, and that man gets set free and delivered. So the next night you grab a guy by the head and say, come out of him, devil, and the devil just smiles at you. You see, it's the virtue and the power of God, not you. It's not because you said the right words. Amen. People put so much in healing. But one leopard came back to worship the Lord. Just one. So, you know, oh man, I laid hands on this one. He was healed this one. So be it. Praise God for that. That's the children's bread. That's part of the rain coming down on this world. They're benefactors of many great things of God. Why the blood's on the mercy seat. But brother, there's something called eternal life, the gift of the Holy Ghost. It isn't talking in tongues. It isn't dancing. It isn't going, whoo, man, did you see that? Whoa, brother, wow. Man, I've seen all that stuff. I've been around that stuff for years, and it don't work. They die, and they perish because they don't have the real. The real thing comes from within. It don't come from the head. It don't come from retention. It don't come from Bible quotes. It comes from the heart. It comes from the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got to get real with God and fall in love with Him and let it be about Him, His kingdom, His ministry, or you're going to die and perish. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get out of the way. You ain't got a ministry. You say, well, Brother Rob, I got a calling. It'll come to fruition. if you submit to it, if you yield to it, it'll come forth. I got many men here. The Bible said many are called for your chosen. Some say, I'm waiting for you to recognize it, and I'm looking. Had one man say not long ago, he said, if Brother Rob doesn't start using me, if he doesn't start using me in my gifts and recognize my callings and this revelation, this knowledge I got, and start putting me behind that sacred desk, I'm going to go somewhere where they recognize me. Brethren, you'll never see me put a man behind this sacred desk that's an alcoholic. You'll never see me put a man behind this sacred desk by what he knows up here. It's going to be by what's in here. Amen. And I'll put a man behind this sacred desk that's real and sincere, and he might not hold your attention. He might stumble around in the scriptures and the word a little bit, but when I see his heart is pure and his heart is clean, amen, and he's pressing and trying to do something, I'm not putting him here for any other reason except that let God start exercising the gifts in his life, and I can start seeing the fruition of a calling. I can start seeing the manifestation. Brother Manny asked me the other day, he goes, well, Brother Jim said, we got to recognize, you know, what part of this fivefold ministry are we? You know, am I an apostle? Am I a prophet? Am I an evangelist? Am I a pastor? Am I a teacher? Brother, let me tell you something. I had a man that had a church. He said he wanted me to call him apostle. And I wouldn't do it. He said, Brother Rob, why won't you call me an apostle? He said, you call this one pastor and you call this one that. And I said, brother works real good. Amen. Even though he was a false brother. Amen. He was a false brother. He wasn't even born again. The man never been filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a lying, thieving pastor. Amen. But want me to call him apostle? You want a title? You want recognition? God is going to hold everything away from you. It isn't about those things can identify what you do. If I see a man traveling and out winning souls and seeing an increase, you don't have to travel. You can do it while you're out on the job. You can do it right when you're at Walmart. You can do it while you're at Home Depot, and you can be an evangelist and have an evangelistic heart. That thing is going to come forth, and it's going to come forth, and you're going to be sharing Jesus Christ everywhere you go, including in your own home. Amen. You say, well, I'm an apostle. Well, let me tell you what apostle's doing. He's establishing churches and he's overseeing them, and they're standing strong. Amen. I tried to exercise that gift myself, and I couldn't stay out there enough with them to oversight them. And started the works that we started, because we couldn't oversight them properly, they failed. Because men, when they start receiving finances, they start looking at the finances instead of looking to God. I've had many ministries say, could you send me and put us on a list that you give us so much a month? Amen. When somebody rates your spiritualism by how much you give them, they're of the devil every single time. Amen. I know how to judge things righteously and through the mind of Christ. And yes, you have a place to sow. You have a place to give. And you can make analyzations on a man's finances. But only when it's coming to you, then you got a problem and you're of the devil. I speak clear and I speak plain. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him? Amen. Amen. I hope you can love me too. I'm still preaching. Praise the Lord. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, though Brother Rob dies and Brother Rob gets out of the way, Brother Rob's will and ministry and wishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. While we look not at the things which are seen. I tell you, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I got many of them, but this is just one of them. Is that okay? While we look not at the things which are seen, we walk by faith, not by sight. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We look at things that are not seen, brethren. I'm seeing things that people don't see. I'm seeing things that people with these infatuations of their own glory, of their own ministries, of their own spiritualisms, and their own visions, and their own dreams, and all these things. I'm seeing things they'll never see. Never! Because the things that they see are fake. They're make-believe. And you say, oh, but Brother Rob, they might be unveiling a man's heart. They might be unveiling a man's thoughts. They might be speaking prophetical things. Brethren, I've worked with prophets. And they told people the intents of their heart and their thoughts. I traveled with them and I watched them bring word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I seen miracles in their thing. It didn't vindicate them as a man of God. That never vindicates a man of God. If you're looking for those signs, you're going to be deceived and you're going to die and perish. Amen. I don't need signs of such. I've got the Holy Ghost. I got the Word of Christ in me. I got the Spirit of Revelation in me. I got the Word of discernment in me. Amen. And I could discern the Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you, I've been young in the Lord and walking with those kind of men while they were raping their own boys. I told my wife, I said, there's something bad wrong with this man. Oh, he was a pretty boy. He was polished. Brother Pete and I know what that is, don't we, Brother Pete? We've sat with men for hours at a time, Brother Andy. Brother Pete and I stayed up with them all night long, listening to revelation and revelation and revelation. And they leave our presence and sleeping with another man's wife. What are you infatuated into? What has got your attention? When it comes, it has to be something to puff you up and to flatter you. It ain't God. God ain't going to flatter you. He told us right here what he's going to do. He's going to take you to the cross. And he's going to kill your ambitions out. He's going to kill your will. He's going to kill your thoughts. He's going to kill you out. For he could live. We're predestined in him and him alone. You ain't predestined in what you know. You ain't predestined in what you think. You ain't predestined in some kind of superior knowledge. Hey man, you may as well go up there with the prophets of Baal. Amen. You better get infatuated in God only and then let it turn to love. Amen. And you find out when you fall in love with him and you ain't looking for admiration. You ain't looking for recognition. You ain't looking to be honored. That's when he'll pick you up and he'll bring you up to a place. Amen. And all men will be drawn into the kingdom through you, my friend. Because you're not there and you no longer live. And it's Christ on the cross today. For a generation of darkness that's lost and dying. Remember, if you want to see the power of God manifested in your life, surrender all to him and let the Lord move. Let the Lord reign and let the Lord have his way within your life. Amen, you loving saints of God. I want to read another scripture to you right here. I think this is it. Let me get a drink of water. Philippians 3rd chapter. But what things were gained to me? How many times do we have things that are gained to us and we stand back and magnify the Lord? We should. Don't misunderstand me. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. If I have any gains to me, carnal gains. You see, I can have carnal things and not be carnal minded, but I could be carnal minded and gain carnal things. Those kind of gains are not what we want. So there's a difference. You know, as the Bible again says, the wealth of the unjust will testify against them on the day of judgment. You see, your wealth isn't going to testify against you because your wealth wasn't gotten by your own gains if you're a son of God. Your wealth came because you were bringing wealth to somebody else, prosperity to somebody else, blessing somebody else, and God gave it to you. Those are eternal blessings. Oh, the ones on this side, on this earth, will go to corruption. They'll fade away. Brother Pike gave a new car away one time. And he said, you know what? He said, now I've got it in glory forever and ever. He said, it'll never see corruption. Amen. See, he treasured the things in heaven. Amen. The eternal rewards. He was a spiritual man looking for the spiritual things. When you came and tried to lie down at his feet, didn't work. He didn't let you praise him. It didn't work. He wasn't moved by flattery. It didn't work. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to see if a man's real, go flatter him a little bit. And boy, when he just, man, it's about time you recognized me. Ooh, baby. That's what they look like. It looks queerish to me. I'm not talking about sexual perversion. I'm talking about the real term for queer is something really odd here. You know? I'm fixing to help a homosexual man. I guess when it's an alcoholic, you say a reformed or whatever alcoholic, I'm fixing to help him write a writing to the homosexual community. I told him I wanted to help him with his writing. I wanted to help him publish it. I want to send it as many in America. We got such a problem. And he's saying he was under the lie. He said he was under the lie that God made him this way. And he said his parents even helped him to believe that. But he said the truth of the matter is that when he was a little boy, he was sexually molested. And then because of the shame of that and all those things, he wouldn't even look for a girl. And he ended up going into full-blown lifestyle of homosexual. I believe the man's close to 40-some years old. I think he's about Brother Melvin's age. Fellowshipping him and talking to him about the Lord and trying to help him. This brother said, I've never been with a woman. But he said, I'm going to find me a wife. Amen. And he said, I'm going to get married. And I'm going to have children. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. He's crying out. He said, I need help with this. I've never done this before. I have another man crying out to me. He said, Brother Rob, I never courted a woman in holiness before. You know, I was a whoremonger. I was this wretched man. And it was always about these relationships. And he goes, now I'm dating a girl. I don't want to mess this up. How do I do this? You see, that's ministry, brethren. Is get down and talk with people and teach them and help them to walk a godly life. Unveil some things that's just tangible, something they can understand. Brother, don't touch her. It's not good for a man to touch a woman. You know, be careful. Don't find yourself by yourself. Don't be sucking face with her. It's going to get you in problems. Be careful. See, when you start doing all those things, that flesh man is kicking in. He's kicking in. If you do her unseemly, then marry her. You say, oh, thank God for the grace and a loophole. Better be careful. Sometimes them loopholes will loop around your neck and you'll find it as a chokehold. Amen. Got to be careful. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Brethren, there's a revelation right there. I trust that God will help you with that. I can't explain this to you, but I've lived it. Brother Pike watched me get stripped down. All my religious friends before I met Brother George, the churches I was preaching, said, Brother Rob, you miss God. You've always been blessed. You've always prospered. And man, you've been stripped down. You got nothing. You're driving a 25-year-old truck. You were driving brand new cars a few weeks ago. But you know, it was God that stripped me down. They couldn't see it because they didn't have eyes to see. They did not see what I was seeing in the unseen things. I was looking at the prosperity of an unseen world, and they were looking at the prosperity of a world that's seen. You understand that? It's two different worlds. And when you weigh out your spiritualism and your religious on materialistic things, you have never seen God. He will bless you materialistically. Yes. But when you weigh out the strength of your salvation on monetary things, and you think that these things are gain in God, absolutely not. We're trying to unveil the word to you here tonight through the scriptures. Can I read 8 again? I'm going to work right on down here and we're going to close. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, you want to talk. I said something about a testimony about drugs, a testimony about heroin, a testimony about alcohol, a testimony about whoremongering. Come on, man. Let's talk about a testimony of getting delivered from religion. Let's talk about a testimony where Brother Paul, he's speaking about all of this knowledge he had was dung, and it was of no account to him. Amen. When he came to the revelation of Jesus Christ, it ain't about me, Brother Paul. It ain't about me or what I have. It ain't about my gains. It's about Jesus and him alone. And when I got out of the way of that, then I received the excellency of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Okay, we're going to 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Your righteousness is going to fail you, my friend. It's going to fail you. You better surrender it. It's better to come to this by obedience and sacrifice. Amen. Come on now. And be found in him. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. The letter of the law killeth. Your scripture retention will kill you. I'm not trying to teach you not to do that, but I'm saying you're climbing up another way. Amen. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Wow, I like that. You see, there's your righteousness, and then there's another one by faith. I like the one by faith. The one by faith is going to come to fruition. It's going to come to evidence. It's going to bring a substance. Yours can bring a lot of things. It can bring a big television ministry. It can bring a church with 25,000 people in it. But amen, that's not what God's looking for. Don't be fooled by numbers. It's a wide, broad path to destruction. All you is a servant of Satan, and God's using you to bundle them together. You understand? These big churches, like Brother Benny Hinn's, or these big churches like Joel Osteen, that's the Lord's orchestrating that, and he's using it to bundle them together for this final end-time harvest. And they're going to be bundled up and put into the fire, my friend. And you say, Brother Rob, you can't say that. The Bible said, small flock, few be there that make it. It said, the righteous scarcely make it in. Come on, saints of God. We got to get real with the word of God. Don't you talk about Benny Hinn now. I've been in his meetings, and I felt the power of God. I did too. The God of this world, the darkness of this world. If he was a man of God filled with the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have been busted in sexual perversion with women. Come on now. God said it's going to be made known. Shouted from the rooftops, amen. Be made manifest. Swaggart had a powerful ministry. I was in one of his meetings. The power of God hit me as strong as it ever hit me in any service ever. I was a heathen. I never even professed Christianity. And the power of God hit me so strong that I shook like a, I don't know what I shook like. I've never seen anything humanly possible to shake like I shook. Amen. You say, well, how could that have happened there? Because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. It didn't vindicate him as a man of God. It vindicated that God was there reaching for souls. Amen. I had a man lead me to God. Amen. That I never went to his church. Amen. But he was instrumental in leading me to God. And all of a sudden I'm ministering to him, trying to get his doctrine right. I'm not done yet neither. Sometimes it takes 25 years to win a soul, brethren. Amen. But you're an instant society. Oh, I want fruit right now. Hey, buddy, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about him. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to tell you about him. Oh, you're saved. Yeah. Your microwave mentality of salvation. It don't work that way. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. I'm going to sweat with you. I'm going to labor with you. I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to pick you up out of the mire. Amen. Some of these guys are so doggone self-righteous that they can't help a man. They won't reach down in the mire and pull him out. You don't think like me. How can he? You ain't brought the mind of revelation to him or the mind of Christ. You only bought about your lifted up, puffed up mind is the only mind you brought to him. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. Don't ever get in the way of the glory of God. He'll remove you and he'll burn your fields. Amen. Hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, his being made conformable unto his death. Amen. If you want the life of Christ and the mind of Christ, you got to be conformable to his death also. But you don't want to die. You want to live and get all the benefactors and the benefits of the kingdom and be joint heirs. But you must die. It's the only way. The only way. You must die. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Do you want to attain to the resurrection of the dead? Then you got to die. It said the resurrection of the dead. You got to die. You got to die. You have to die. There's the only way. I'm not talking about being put in a box. I'm talking about death. I'm talking about killing out your carnal mind. That's enmity with God. And when you keep polishing your carnal mind, and you keep puffing up your carnal mind, and you keep illuminating your carnal mind, then you're a black light. It's not the illumination of God. It's the illumination of your knowledge. And the Bible said, knowledge puffeth up, and that puffed up knowledge will bring you down and destroy you. Come on, brethren, humble yourself. Cry out to God. Ask God to help you. Repent before the Lord and ask Him to help you. I'm telling you, the haughty spirit comes before the fall, before the destruction. Pride, the same thing. It's going to destroy you. When you're proud of your retention, when you're proud of your Bible knowledge, when you're proud of your studies, when you're proud of your diplomacies, when you're proud of those things. Brethren, you've got so far in the way of God. I've talked to ministers, pour my heart out to them, try to help them, but they've created this world, as I started to say in the previous book. They've created this thing through the craftiness. They've created this thing through that world, and it works. They got following, they got people, they got admiration, they got ministries, they sell books, they sell tapes, they sell everything, and it's working for them. They got numbers in their churches, so they esteem themselves as successful. Amen. But it's a lie and vanity. It's all a lie. It's all going to put them in the ditch. Look at the Sanhedrin. Look at this great priesthood that was there in Jesus' day. They were in the synagogues daily, my friend. Daily. And I mean, they esteemed these people so great. Amen. I talked to Brother Melvin here and to Brother Durrell, two black brothers. And they talk about the black churches. And things, you know, sometimes we laugh and mock them a little bit because of their foolishness. But brother, I wish this problem was only in the black church. You bunch of white crackers. You know what your problem is? You're puffed up in yourself and you're in love with yourself and you're in love with your thoughts and the word that you think you got. And you walk around proud, got your chest stuck out. You walk tall. And you're a reprobate in God's eyes. And you need to get born again. And you need to die. And you need to decrease that Christ can increase. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. My brother Rob Coons approved this message. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me, please, brethren. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to put this on tape and send it in to the ones that didn't able to turn on their FM tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brethren, we got to learn how to look in the mirror. That's what you and I got to do. We got to learn how to look in the mirror. Brethren, I know the power of God. I know the salvation of the Lord. I know to discern the difference between a lying miracle and a real one. Amen. And I've seen them both. I told you the other day there was a group, I can't remember the name of, I told you would know who it is. And no, I'm not for these people investigating these preachers. I hate it because it reproaches the whole kingdom of God. Even though they're false preachers, it reproaches them. And there was an exposure of several preachers on Fox News on a browser. I read it. And exposing many preachers. Benny Hinn, Robert Tilton, Jimmy Swaggart, some I didn't know, never heard of, and they were exposing them. You know, brethren, I don't need to read something on the news media to expose a preacher. Brethren, all you got to do is listen to the mind of Christ in Revelation. I worked with a man that I've seen full of problems, Brother Andy, not many weeks back. And this man told me, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Charity believeth all things, but he told me he was pastoring a church with several hundred people in it. Somewhere up close to 1,000, 1,200 people or whatever it was. I don't know. And I'd listen to him talk, and I'd think, my God, this man is a novice. My heart was going to those hundreds of people in there that this man was going to hurt. And I suffered. And I suffered with him and suffered with him. I esteemed him, but I suffered and I suffered and I helped. I prayed with him on the phone, wept with him on the phone. And some of you mocked me. Some of these guys in the prisons robbed me, Brother Melvin. And you know what? You think I didn't know that they was a thief the whole time? But I would rather get robbed trying to show the love of God to that man. And sometimes, and I've had him in my backyard, I said, Brother, I know that you've been a thief and a liar, but I'm not going to lock my doors to you. I'm going to open up my home to you. And you can come here and rob and steal everything I got. And I said, that's okay, man. God gave me everything. I'll leave it with you and God. Brother, I would rather take a chance of getting robbed of everything that I've got to help win a soul. Amen? And you think, well, I got more discernment than you. I knew they was no good. But while you're thinking they're no good, you'll never love them enough and treat them like a son of God for they can see what it feels like. But when you start treating that man like a son of God and loving him like a son of God, amen, then all of a sudden you'll see a man get converted. Amen. Because you that win souls are wise. So you better start loving the unlovable. Amen. When you only love your brethren because they love you, that's good. You know, the Bible does say because, you know, we love the brethren, we pass from death unto life. But I'm going to tell you something. That love goes outside the doors of your church. And it loves people, brethren, that are out there in the mire. The ones that dress different than you. The ones in shorts, brother. The ones in tank tops. The ones that are painted up like a Jezebel. You love them people because nobody's taking time to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to them. Amen. You love them enough to lay your life down. You love them enough to share with them and help them. No, I didn't give you Godspeed to go dance with them, frolic with them, and roll in the mire with them. I'll get in the mire waist deep to pull one out, but I'm not going to roll around and waller in it. When you think you're a soul winner and you're trying to convince yourself, well, I love this guy. You know, and you know, I love him. I'm trying to win his soul. You ain't going to win his soul going to the ball games with him. You ain't going to win his soul going out and doing the things that worldly people do. Amen. Jesus, the Pharisees found fault with him when he went to these heathens' homes. These people that weren't numbered with the Jews and went into their homes and ate with them, they found fault with them. He said the sick need a physician. But he wasn't in there frolicking with them. Being what they do, he brought the word of God to them and ministered to them. And when you're at a NASCAR race thing and you say you're there to win a soul, you can't win a soul with vroom, vroom. You'll never be able to say a word to them. And you ain't going to win them at a ball game because you say, brother, let me tell you about, wait a minute, my granddaughter's up to bat right now. You got no business out there in that cesspool. You try to convince yourself that it's okay, you're wrong. And then you'll have troubles winning them. And when they need God, they're not going to listen to you because you defiled your testimony because you become like them. I've had people when I've made a strong testimony, wouldn't be partakers with them. And when they get saved, they come and thank me for not yielding to them and what they do. Amen. All right, brethren, let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Appreciate y'all. Love you. Praise God. I feel like I'm in camp meeting, Brother John. What's wrong with you all, man? Come on, man. Smile, somebody.
Amen.
Man, where's my runners at tonight? Come on, Brother Tab. Come on, Brother Tab. Come on, Brother Melvin. Come on, man. Let's do it. Amen. Might help some of you. Praise God. It might get a little bit of that stiffness out of some of you, man. You know, you might ought to try to exercise them legs a little bit. Yeah. You say, come on, brother, let's lift up our hands.
Yeah.
You know, you're halfway there, man. Oh, I'm a little better. Yeah. You know. I'll tell you what, somebody put an AK-7 in your mouth and say, lift up your hands, you're going to do like this. Well, I got arthritis in your shoulder. You ain't even think about no arthritis, man. Man, I got them suckers up here like that, man. And let me tell you something like Pete's testimony was there. Man, you know, it hurts to hold it up. Man, that means that you're doing a greater sacrifice for God than the other one is. If it hurts a little bit, make it hurt and praise God. And you start praising God with that pain. And you start worshiping Him with that pain. And loving it all, saying, hey, it's gone. Wow, it's gone. Amen. step out of the boat. Amen. Walk on the water a little bit. All right, let's sing a song. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like I've been to church, Brother Andy. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother John.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we offer up to you sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice. Thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
I'm going to ask Stephanie to come up in the altar. So I'm going to get her to stand in for her mother. Amen. We're going to anoint her with oil tonight, brethren. I think, sisters, Irene's labors has been seen before for you. Some of you watched her labor with your children from diaper change all the way to high school. Amen. It should be a pretty easy person to pray for. Amen. And you say, well, it's your wife. You know, I know her a little different than you do. I hope so. You want to talk about that mean old gal laying back in there? Amen. Sometimes them old mean gals, man, could get healed too. Amen. And she's a pretty long-suffering girl. She's been putting up with me. If you don't believe she's long-suffering, she's been married to me 42 years. That tells me she's long-suffering. You just put them eyebrows back down, boy. This guy's family. He can't do that. Put them down. His eyebrows, you see how high them? I never see his eyebrows go. He don't have much of a forehead. They went slap up in his hairline. You know, that's wrong in the dream. I'm such a soft-spoken, easy-going guy. You all know it's easy to be married to me. No comments. This is your time to be silent. You know, study to be silent. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, brethren, I think you all could pray out of a concern and a compassionate heart and pray a prayer of faith. Amen. I've seen her pray with people, seen her cry with them, and she's in need tonight of a touch from heaven. Amen. Came over to the school yesterday and she couldn't hardly get out of her chair. You say, well, maybe I'd take her to the doctor. That's what we're doing right now.
Amen.
Amen. We're taking her to a physician right now. Amen. as the brethren play lightly. Let's ponder in the Lord for a moment and pray. Can you pray with me, saints of God? Maybe it'd be good to close your eyes, bow your head a minute, and just pray in the Spirit for a moment. That we know that when we lay hands on Stephanie as she stands proxy for Sister Irene, amen, I'm expecting to see a miracle. Amen. Sister Rebecca's not here tonight. She was so stoved up in her back, she missed several days of church, a couple weeks, I think. And she wouldn't even come in the altars, was hurting so bad. She got a supernatural touch from God. And the pain, it wasn't a healing, brother, it was a miracle. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. And that's what took place. Can we ask for a miracle tonight? Does your God still work miracles tonight? Amen. Brother Jim Smith, you've heard the testimony and the story. He received a healing. And he had to believe and profess that. And when the doctor still told him he's going to die, he kept professing. He said, if I'm out there in that graveyard, it ain't going to be from cancer, because God healed me of that. And the man walked clear of it. Amen. I heard that in the last few years they've done another x-ray and they said they can't even find any damage from it. That's God, brethren. Amen. God can take a heart and fix it and strengthen it. He can take a valve and repair it. He could take a plugged artery and open it. He could take a decayed tooth and rebuild it. Amen. He could take a reprobate mind and change it into a mind of love of God and Christ. Man, he's an awesome God. Don't limit him. Amen. Some of you brethren may want to pray with me. Some of you sisters, likewise. Ministers at. Come on now. Oh, Maria Saliandala Masiliashi. Sataya Trasio Trosihishindri Hiki Hitilimoki. Los Ndreshindali Mokote Hindre Heseteri Makishindala Moko. Oh, Lord God. Father, we find ourselves not even worthy, Lord God, but we know that we are worthy by the blood that you shed. Father, knowing that we can't do nothing when we see sick before us, but you have given us the gift of power, the gift of life, the gift of strength, the gift of healing. Oh, mighty God, the gift of miracles, Lord God. Father, I know that you've given this gift to us as the sons of God, the children of God. And I thank you for it, Lord God. But Father, as we come together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, I ask that you would allow the virtue of my Lord and Savior, the same virtue that woman with the issue of blood had, Almighty God. And I ask you right now to let it go through this young lady, her daughter, my daughter. And I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to touch her. Thank you, Jesus. I love you and I praise you, Lord God. Father God, I ask you in the name of my Lord and Savior to let that virtue go right now into that back, into those vertebrae, Lord God, into them nerves, whatever it is, Lord God, causing this pain and complication. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I know that that sister's got things stored up, Lord God, and we're calling on that storehouse right now, Lord God. And Father God, we're asking you to take a little bit out of that savings account. Oh, Lord God, that you built and that you put there, Lord God. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to touch her body. To touch her body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Shema Hishindra Silokos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maria la masile andre hehe shinili mokoro mahis. Shalia sandra haki siti li mokosunde li moki. Yed masilia shindele maki sale mokoto. Sandra sandalika sindele mokoso. Father, I ask you to fix that sciatic nerve, Almighty God. I ask you to mend every vertebrae, Lord God, all the way back from childhood accidents, oh God. Let that pain leave her body. In the name of Jesus. Masayatale masandroko si. Li shinriki sidi androko romosi. Father, we stand and tarry in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, knowing that you're doing a work and a mending and a repair in Jesus Christ's name. I love you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I expect a report. I expect a testimony. Amen. You know, brethren, I can tell you something about Sister Irene. If she besought the Lord, as the Apostle Paul did. And he said, my grace is sufficient. You'll see it not hinder the labors of the ministry that's in her heart. Amen. And I've got some terrible reports from doctors. And I remember saying, you know, Lord, that's all right. Amen. It don't matter what happens to this body as long as you give me strength. Amen. If I got to drag a wounded limb, if I got to roll in a wheelchair, you know, if I got to use crutches, it don't matter, brother. I'm going to be spent for the gospel of Christ. I'm not going to let infirmities, physical infirmities, hinder me from doing. I thank God that he's healed me on numerous occasions. I remember laying in a tub. Not a bath person. I usually shower. I could testify to everybody. I believe in hygiene, but I don't take too many baths a year. Amen. But it was stoved up, man. I was laying off in a tub, man, stoved up. And I started to pray. And I said, Lord God, you sent me to preach your gospel and to preach faith to people. You sent me to do this thing. And I said, how can I carry this thing in my body like this? I said, I need a touch from you right now, Lord God. And I was praying all of a sudden to the field. And I said, man, this Epsom salt, my water's working really good. You know? Oh, man, I mean, God touched me, brother, right there, man. And I'll tell you what, I tried Epsom salt and hot water later. It didn't work, Brother Andy. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God, man, moved right there, man, in that bathtub. Amen. And it didn't just go away. It was gone. Miraculously gone. But brethren, that's not the strength of my salvation. That's not what vindicated God to me, brother. God's vindicated to me by his word every moment of every day. He walks with me. He sups with me. He's in me. I'm within him. Amen. He fellowships with me. He shares with me. He brings me peace when I'm in the midst of a storm. You understand that? And he calms those things. Amen. That's vindication of God. If you're spewing out like a Roman candle, man, and you're in the flesh all the time and this and that, you might have troubles. Yeah, you know, I know what yielding to the flesh is, Brother John. I know what it is, and I know when you think you're justified to do so too. I've been there, amen. But like I told you, it may not do nothing for you, but when he spoke to me and he said, righteous indignation doesn't justify fleshly animosity, man, I got some real growth right there, brethren. Some real growth, amen. In closing thoughts, I'm going to share with you what a homosexual asked me to do last night. And I'm going to make an effort. God help me. He said, "Brother, please, don't call them faggots and queers." And we got cut off right then. I didn't even get a chance to explain my ignorance. Help me, man. And I'm not going to justify myself. I know I'm crude, Brother Randy. I know I'm ignorant. I know I've offended a lot of people. But let me tell you, we're living in a society, brethren, that people are easily offended. You can't say nothing. You can't say nothing. They're going to get offended. When people are offended over a Confederate statue of somebody, and they're tearing these things down, they need to go read about some of the history of some of them white crackers that shed their blood to free the black man. And they should be honoring them instead of tearing their statues down. That sounds racist. No, it's not racist. I'm talking about practical things. Amen. There's men that have given their life for this country. And they've asked to do things that wouldn't even be Christ-like, but they've done it for their country and they were asked to do it. There's so much foolishness going on. We're in a snowflake society. Everybody's offended. And when you come to this church and you're easily offended, you may as well go down to the Baptist church and don't waste my time or your time. Amen. Because if you're in Christ, you won't be offended. Amen. The thing is I'm not going to justify me using those terminologies, but I'm so against you calling them gay because they're asking you to be politically correct, Brother John. And they're asking you to accept their lifestyle and to accept their perversion. So I purposely not going to bow down to that. But I'm going to do better to try to use terms, biblical terms. It's a perversion. Perverts are involved in perversion, but it is a perversion, spiritual perversion. The Bible does say it's an abomination. If you go study out what abomination means, that's a pretty harsh rebuke in itself. It's an abomination when they leave their natural affections. Amen? You know, we use the term sodomy. Sodomites. The thing is they want to be now called LGBT and Qs. Yeah? Well, Q is queer. Okay? So if they chose that, I think I could call them a queer. Is that correct? Okay? Well, it is queer. Yeah? But brethren, let me tell you something. I found genuine fellowship with this man because he's renounced it.
Praise God. Yeah.
And he's the one. Let me go back to the black thing for a moment. You see, Brother Durrell could say things that I can't say. Brother Melvin could say things I can't say. I'll tell you what thrills me when I see a black politician speak against the foolishness about that's going on. I think Black Lives Matter, and I'm a white man. But not their foolishness that they're doing. And when they're out there protesting for their cause and they're burning black people's businesses down and burning their cars up and doing all that, you know, something's wrong with that message. You know, if they were protesting for the betterment of people and for laws that are denying them, I'm all for that. But that's not the case here. I told you what the Lord showed me when they said, give me Barabbas, when they were burning down St. Louis over there. And then all that stuff was going on over there in Ferguson near St. Louis. And they were saying, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And the police officer was innocent. I'm not saying that because I'm a white man. I'm saying that because the police officer was doing his job, what he was getting paid to do. The man went in there and roughed up a guy in the store. The man had a criminal record. He beamed the cop in the head until he was dizzy by cracking the bone right here in his thing. And he was dazed in his car and numb. And the guy took his gun away from him. His gun discharged in the car. This is all proven facts. The cop wrestles with him to get the gun back. He gets out of the car and the guy turns around and addresses him. He done got binged in the head by this guy once. You understand that? I don't like to see a loss of any life. White, black, brown, yellow, it don't matter. I don't like seeing loss of life. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is, but they turned the thing around and tried to make the cop bad and him good. And that's when I told you what the Lord showed me. They were screaming, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And that's exactly what was going on over there, and it showed a great thing because that's the gateway to the west right there where it's taking place at. And brethren, there's some final things that are taking place. We brought some of those things out. So, brethren, God's having his way in a lot of things. Amen. I told brethren, you know, Obama showed the Antichrist climbing up into the upper lintels, and another way he showed the Jews coming to take their place in the kingdom of God. Twofold type. So we could look at things many different ways. You could choose. This is why we don't follow allegories and types and shadows, because I could make an allegory real good. I could take a black man and say, light being veiled in the darkness. Man, I could look at a black man and say, he's the Jew. He's God's elect. I could look at a black man and say, man, that's the devil, darkness. I could look at a white man the same way, Brother John. So the thing is, all flesh is dark.
Right.
Your flesh is dark. My flesh is dark. That's light being veiled in the darkness. We need to come together that we're all one in the Spirit of God. Amen. And the skin color isn't a deciding factor of anything here. Amen. We do keep segregation for reasons because of the allegories. We don't press it. You know, what I'm saying, when we don't press, I don't press the allegory issues, brethren. You know, people that follow allegories, Brother Red McKinney over there said a black man can't be saved. He doesn't have a soul. He's a beast. The man was a reprobate. Man need to get born again himself. You see, I don't even think or entertain those kind of thoughts. Amen. I sit there and esteem Brother Durrell tonight, because he come to a revelation at 31 years old. Man, I'm selfish, brother. I've been before the Lord praying, and I find out the things I'm doing is selfish. That's a revelation that'll change a young man's life, that he could really be utilized for the glory of God and the work of the gospel. Amen. Coming to a revelation that I'm a selfish man. You see, you can't kill him, Brother Andy, if you don't recognize him. You got to recognize the enemy. But when you look in the mirror, man, God really made you nice there, didn't he? Man, you the one. Amen. Look at me, man. Man. You don't do that no more, do you? Where's little Paul at? I got to get him there a little bit. Did you stop that foolishness? Okay, good. He got in my car one day. I'm still snitching on him. He pulled that sun visor down. He goes, yep, still looking good. Did you get a sermon? You still getting one, ain't you? Yeah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.